Upgrade your laundry routine with a durable and reliable Maytag laundry pair at Lowe's. Like the new Maytag washer and dryer with performance-enhanced stain-fighting power designed to cut through serious dirt and grime. And what's great is this laundry pair is in stock and ready for delivery when you need it the most. Don't miss out. Shop Maytag in-store or online today at Lowe's.
Welcome to another episode of the Bamature Hour. I am Bama John. You can listen to us on YouTube, Apple Podcast, Amazon Music, iHeart Podcast, RSS Podcast. You can go to thebamaturehour.com and see all the different ways you can access us. Please click and subscribe, like us, and we appreciate everyone who tunes in for all the great wisdom you get in our Bamature Hour podcast. So we're going to kick this one off now. Today is Sunday, May 16th, 2025, in the year of our Lord. We are blessed to be here and happy to talk about Alabama sports. I'm Bama John again. I'm joined by Will K and Dr. T. And today we're going to do a deeper dive into the Alabama offense. We did the previous episode. We had a robust discussion about the Alabama offense. We talked about the issues in 2024. We dug into the 2025 roster and had quite a lot to say, but after consulting with my fellow Bamature Hour podcasters, we're going to dig back in. We got a lot more to say about the Alabama offense because there's a lot of question marks out there. There's a lot of scenarios to look at. So we're going to dig in. Will K, you there?
I'm here.
All right. Dr. T?
I'm here and excited to dig in.
All right, let's jump in. All right, first thing is let's talk more about Ryan Grubb and how we anticipate he'll elevate the offense. Will K, Ryan Grubb, new OC, give us your thoughts.
It'll be different for sure. He was with DeBoer at Washington, took them to a national championship game. I think maybe Michael Penix. I forgot who was in that Heisman race, but he was up there. He was, I think he passed for 4,000 yards and had Rome Odunze. And, you know, that offense was the highlight of that team. So I think having Grubb and DeBoer back together will elevate the offense. We'll get into too much of Milroe, but he's gone. They'll have more of a pocket passer with Ty Simpson. I know he's unproven a little bit, but I do think that he adds more of a pocket passer element to it than Milroe. So I have high hopes for the offense this year.
All right, Rick, jump in here. Dr. T, give us the assessment of Grubb and the outlook from your perspective.
Yeah, similar to Will, I think having a bona fide OC this year will be a plus compared to last year, having a wide receiver coach have to step up and be an OC for a first time. I think that showed a little bit throughout the year. And it'll be great to have a seasoned OC. And who knows, he may have learned a lot more being in the pros 1 year, and hopefully that'll benefit us this year in 2025.
I'm right there with you guys. I'm very excited about having a proven offensive coordinator who's had great success in multiple spots. And I think the quarterbacks are going to be coached up. I think the offense as a whole is going to be coached up. And I think the other thing to consider is DeBoer. I think he's extremely confident in Ryan Grubb handling things and won't have to worry as much about the offense as he did last year. And I think that's going to allow him to just be the head coach he wants to be and to feel confident in delegating things to Grubb. And my sense is that he and Grubb are on the same page. Dr. T, I think you'll appreciate that. It's like having good doubles partners in tennis, how in sync they can be. I think you're going to get a lot of that synchronicity from coaching this year that may not have been there last year. You had DeBoer taking over a new program, having to fill Saban's shoes, having to worry about a new OC because that wasn't his choice. He wanted Grubb to come here and come with him. And I think he's got the utmost confidence in him because, let's face it, Grubb would not be here if Nick Sheridan had been all that. So I think there's it's going to be an elevation of the coaching, of the orchestration of the offense, and the confidence, and that'll leave Kalen DeBoer to tend to other things and not be as worried about tending to the offense. So I'm excited about that. All right, last thoughts about the coaching before we jump into this whole quarterback conundrum. Will, any parting shots on this topic with Ryan Grubb, or are you ready to move on?
Did you just use the word synchronicity?
He did.
You that like is, that? That's yeah, an that SAT was, word. That's an ACT word.
Yeah, that's a pretty good vocab word.
It actually rolled off your tongue.
But I just never heard it in that form, really. But
yeah.
No, I don't think I have anything. Defense will be mostly the same, if not better. But yeah, offense is the big question for next year.
Ho now. Let's not get ahead of ourselves and talk defense. We're doing a deeper dive into the offense. So,
I said half of the sentence about defense. I think we're all right.
Save it for another
episode.
Easy,
Will. Easy, cowboy.
All right, Dr. T.
I didn't say that much.
He talked a lot about defense, John. I feel like he said a lot.
if the word defense even comes up, it's like
easy,
a
Will.
Stop sign.
Easy, Will.
You committed an offense. That's offensive. Don't talk about
that's
defense.
That's a 5-yard penalty right there. Okay.
My bad. Won't happen again.
Yeah.
Dr. T, other thoughts about
parting
the
shots
coaching?
about the coach?
Yep.
I mean, I think we hammered it pretty well. I just think the second year in the system, DeBoer has his OC back. I just think you're right. There's a level of comfort, you know, as you mentioned, like in doubles. I mean, when you have DeBoer on the sideline, he's not questioning what's about to happen. He's not questioning what's going to happen. He's just, you know, he's just kind of coaching, and it'll be like Washington in the sense that I think the offense will be much smoother, and we'll have a real quarterback. In my opinion, a real quarterback this year who knows how to play the position and all the ins and outs of the position. And I just think it'll be a big step forward this year in 2025 with the offense.
All right. Next topic. I call it the quarterback conundrum.
Man, big words, John. Big words. Yeah.
Well, if you don't know what the word conundrum means for all our podcast listeners out there, and we do appreciate you, just throw it into Google and see what the word means. But I think the interesting thing is I think we've got three talented guys in the room. They're going to have to go get some more quarterbacks. You know, God forbid that all three of those guys get injured. It's going to be nice to have all three, but I think come January, February, there's only going to be one guy left in that room and the other two are going to be gone. I would love it if we can maintain two of the three and not lose two of them. But let me run through that. So let's talk about Ty Simpson first. So Ty Simpson's the lead guy right now. He's in first place. He tentatively has the starting job, but they keep making it clear, and I think they should, that the job is open and that they want to play the best guy and it's not locked up. But from everything that Dr. T shared with me, from what Will and just everything I'm hearing and reading is it's Ty's job to lose, but they're going to give the other guys as fair a shake as you can while you're trying to get ready for for the season. And we're going to talk about this on another episode, but that Florida State game could be a trap game, and there's some interesting dynamics there that make it much more likely this Florida State's going to be more like the version of it 2 years ago than it was last year's terrible team. But let's run through Ty Simpson. Scenario one, Ty Simpson starts all season, leads Bama to the playoffs, but he comes back for year two. Ty Simpson scenario number two is he has a fantastic season, exceeds all expectations, is a first round draft pick, and he's gone. Scenario number three with Ty Simpson is he loses the QB battle and Keelan takes over and Ty sits and Keelan's leading the troops for the season. And then scenario four is Ty Simpson loses the QB battle. And this could be midseason. Either way, it could be midseason or it could be coming in to the first game. And then Austin Mack actually wins the job. Let's run through the Ty Simpson scenarios. From my perspective, if Ty is not the starter for the whole season and we get to January and he's second string, he's out of here. He is not going to stick around. So I'm hoping Ty proves out and wins the job, but let's run through those scenarios. Okay, Will, give me some thoughts about Ty and the various scenarios I threw out there.
Well, I think that, you know, you kind of want to keep Keelan. He might not start this year. He's a little inexperienced, still only a freshman. But, you know, he could be like a bridge to Keelan Russell, like Mac Jones was for Bryce Young. Or he could be like a A.J. McCarron type, you know. But, yeah, I think you kind of went through all those. I don't know which one to talk about, but I don't think Ty Simpson is going to lose this QB battle. I think it's pretty much locked up unless Keelan Russell, you know, plays like Bryce Young or something with these next couple months leading into the season. But I think the scenario that I look at that could happen is that Ty Simpson, you know, the first three or four games are pretty easy. And then he goes to Georgia. He looks mediocre, average, you know, maybe a little bit above average in those first couple games. But then he goes to Georgia, and the lights get too bright. And then he just crumbles, and we lose by two touchdowns or more. And then they're thinking, we might need to change a quarterback. I think that Austin Mack is just gone. But with Ty Simpson, I think that Georgia game is going to be a really big indicator if he's going to be the starter for the rest of the season and for the years to come.
So, hey, Will, let me ask you this. So let's say Ty wins the job. He's the guy. And as you say, he goes undefeated. And then we go to Georgia and he loses. But, you know, it's not a blowout. He's not getting killed. But, you know, we lose by a field goal, a touchdown. He's respectable. You know, Do you think if he plays okay but not great that he keeps the job, or is your feeling that if he can't beat Georgia or just look great against Georgia, give Keelan an opportunity and let him see if he can lead us?
It would depend on how the game would play out. You know, if we lost by a field goal, but, you know, the defense played really well, maybe they had a touchdown, Jam Miller had a bunch of touchdowns and we lose by a field goal, but Ty Simpson has like three interceptions, then maybe. But if Ty Simpson throws for like three touchdowns, 300 yards, no interceptions, and we lose by a field goal, then no. I would think about 2015 when we played Ole Miss, Nick Saban decided to start Cooper Bateman for whatever reason, and he played horrible. He was yanked in that game, and then Jake Coker came back and nearly brought us back. But yeah, it would depend on how he played, not the outcome of the game. Like I said, two touchdowns or more, but the defense plays horrible and we still score like 35, it'd be different. But yeah, if he's throwing multiple interceptions, making bad reads, getting sacked a lot, I think he's canned.
But you like the idea of Ty is the QB. He's the guy for 1 year. And let's assume we go 10-2, 9-3. But then after that, hand the reins over to Keelan, assuming that he can prove out that he's ready to take over after that year. And then adios, Ty. Either go to the pros or transfer. That's kind of the trajectory that you like or foresee. Is that what you're thinking, Will?
Yeah. I think he's more of a bridge quarterback. I mean, he probably won't, but he might be play as well as Mac Jones. I know Mac Jones had Devontae Smith, but, you know, something like that, because you can't really afford to lose Keelan, because if Ty stays another year, then that'll be his last year. And then who's the quarterback going to be? Because Austin Mack's going to leave. We're going to have some freshman start. So
that's called the conundrum.
Yeah, I think that the best case scenario is that, you know, Ty is an upperclassman. He's waited his turn. He has a great year. We go to the playoffs, hopefully win the national championship. He's a first-round pick. Keelan Russell is the starter next year going forward.
Dr. T, chew it up. Come on, bring it.
Well, I'm going to throw a flag on one thing, okay? John got on Will for bringing up defense, and I'm going to go back about 5 minutes. John brought up Florida State. He went into the season, Will.
Yeah, whoa.
That's that. You can't do that. We're talking about a deeper dive in the offense, not Florida State. Okay, come on. Anyway, but back to this. I mean, I like the scenario of Ty Simpson having a great year and maybe win the Natty. But I think I see two scenarios. I think most likely is that we have a good year with Ty, and it might be a national championship. And so then it'll be kind of up to DeBoer and the coaching staff about what's been going on behind the scenes as far as, is Ty getting a first round grade? Is he close to first round? I think if he is somewhere around the first round or maybe getting a second round grade, I think he goes. If Keelan has had a great year in practice, a great year in maybe mop up duty against ULM or whoever it is. But if they're not seeing a lot of progression in Keelan in practice and Ty has a great year, but just not round one, first round potential, he may come back and Keelan, maybe he leaves. I don't know. Maybe he's like Archie Manning. Maybe they talk to him and say, Keelan, one more year, man, you're young, one more year and you'll have the job after that. The other scenario I see is Ty does stay and then Keelan leaves. In that scenario, I think this offense is easy to recruit quarterbacks. So I think if he leaves, I think we'll get a great freshman next year, another five-star freshman who will come wait in the wings for Ty's last year. So I think we're going to be okay either way as far as Ty, if he's great. Now, if Ty's bad, it's easy. We have to go a different route. And as y'all know, the best player on Alabama's team is always the backup quarterback, always is. So we all think Keelan's amazing. I mean, is he? I don't know. I mean, in the 8A game, he has a great arm, but he didn't look that great that day. But maybe in a year we all go, whoa, this kid's amazing. I don't know, but right now I don't trust him to go into Florida State first game. So I think the likely scenario is Ty starts and we have a good year with Ty. I think they're going to hold Keelan back this year. That's my opinion. But the other scenario you mentioned, John, is what if he goes into Georgia, the lights are too bright, do you put Keelan in? I don't know. It really depends on how they're doing in practice, fall camp in the first three games. It may be they go to Austin Mack just to save Keelan from going into a Georgia game, first game of his career, you know. I don't know. But I like the most likely, in my opinion, is Ty Simpson to the playoffs, and then we'll have the conundrum of does Ty leave or not. And that kind of depends, I think, on his NFL grade. That's my thought.
What year is he? Is he a redshirt junior?
Redshirt junior.
Okay.
Yeah.
So this is his fourth year in the program.
Right.
Yeah. But he could stay a fifth year. If he has a good year this year and he's progressing, and then he's not a first round or even a second round draft pick, that's going to be really, really interesting. Does he come back and or does DeBoer even say, look, you need to transfer. We're handing it over to Keelan. We're not losing him. We sat him this year, let you play, but it's going to be fascinating. It's going to be quite the mystery. And then is Keelan mature enough to say, I need to sit 2 years? The guy's 18. He's not ready for SEC football. I'd be shocked if he takes over and leads us to the playoffs. That would be phenomenal. I mean, apparently he's a great athlete, but just the maturity you have, the be able to see the reps, to read the defenses, to make the right reads, to deal with particularly the road games.
Right.
I'd be shocked if he can do it, but, you know, we're going to find out. And that's going to be interesting. So,
I mean, let me ask you this, John.
Yeah.
Last year, if we had had better quarterback play, we're in the playoffs. Do you agree?
Absolutely. I put three of the four losses squarely on the quarterback.
Right.
And so, he made some mistakes at the Vanderbilt game that hurt us. Right. And but three of the four losses were his. Well, maybe the OC. You could probably lump the OC in there with him, but I mean, and yeah, it was boom or bust. Right. It was explosive play or turnover or take a bad sack. It was rough.
I just think a little better quarterback play, we're in the playoffs. And so I think this year we'll have that, maybe a lot better, but at least a little better. And I think with another offensive coordinator, a real offensive coordinator, I think all of a sudden we're better. We're just better.
We're defense. Not drop those.
Oh, I just said the word defense, Will. Oh, my gosh. My
bad.
The other part of the team is good, too. But I just think our offense alone, we're automatically better than 9-4 automatically at the gate. So I just think Ty's going to have a good year. My question to y'all would be this. Say we go we have, what, 12 games on the schedule or maybe 11? I think it's 12.
12 games, yeah.
12 games. So if we go 10-2 and he's solid, just solid, or we go 11-1 and he's solid, and we go to the playoffs and either win it or advance to the semifinals or the final and lose it, if he has a above-average year, I just think he's automatically probably considered a top three rounds in the NFL just because he's on a great team. And I just think the scenario of him going pro is really, really likely after this year.
And I'm going to throw a wrench into there. This is considered this past NFL draft, 2025 draft, was considered one of the worst quarterback drafts in recent memory. Right. I mean, for like the past 10 to 15 years, it was bad. And Shador, for some reasons of running his mouth and other things, he dropped like a rock. He probably should have been at least the second round draft pick, but whatever happens, happens. But people are licking their chops. All the scouts, the teams that need quarterbacks are licking their chops for this next year with the Arch Mannings and the Cabe Klubnicks and LaMarcus Sellers and just on and on.
There's, Ty Simpson.
Well, I mean, I want Ty to be that level. Because if he shows out like that, then I think Bama's going to have a great year. They'll be in the playoffs. They'll probably make a big run. I hope he's that level. But I do think that it's going to be harder if he isn't – let's say he does a great job of being what this team needs him to be, but he's Greg McElroy, not Tua. Or, you know, he's Greg McElroy, not Bryce Young – then I think there's a real scenario where he says, I need to stay another year. And it's hard your first year to show out like that. And and I go back to the Joe Burrow example. You go back to Jaden Daniels. Those guys popped in their second year, not their first year. Joe Burrow, I don't know, third, fourth round had he come out after his junior year at LSU. And Jaden Daniels was not talked about as a first round. And those guys were so much better because they had been through a year of the wars. And so that's why I'm thinking, I think there's a high likelihood that Ty doesn't pop in year one. And Penix, by the way, didn't pop in year one at Washington. It was year two. So I think the betting odds for me is that Ty's going to stay in college one more year after this year. Is it going to be at Alabama, or is he going to jump in the portal, take the Bucs, and go somewhere else because they're handing it over to Keelan? So those are my thoughts on it. All right, Rick, fire back. Give me some feedback.
I mean, I think that's a really likely also. I just think, Ty Simpson, I think if he, again, I think it depends on how Keelan progresses this year. I mean, if at the end of the season, Ty has a good year and the coaches think and everyone thinks, you know what, next year he'll be really good and he's not quite ready for the NFL after this year, do they force him out for a kid who may be really good in 2 years? I don't know. I think if he has a Greg McElroy year and then we don't know what next year is going to be, say next year is a Jaden Daniels type year, who knows? But anyway, but if he has an okay year this year, but gets us to the playoffs and we don't lose because of him, then I think I'd be hard pressed to push him away and send him somewhere else because still Keelan's not proven. So do you want to push him out the door and bring in a maybe a redshirt freshman Keelan and say, hey, we know you're going to be great. I just think it's hard to do. I think it's either he goes pro or he stays and plays next year as well.
Yeah, that's a good point about the quarterback class next year. It is stacked. So, I mean, even if he's great, you know, I mean, there's probably 4, 5, 6 quarterbacks taken in the first round next year, maybe more, because you forget about Carson Beck and Garrett Nussmeier. But, yeah, it'll all just depend on that. We're talking about 2026, not the next year, so.
Right.
All right, anything else on the what I call the Ty Simpson? We can dig in on Keelan Russell next. You guys ready to move on to Keelan?
For sure, yes.
Yeah.
All right, let's go through that. So here's the scenarios with Keelan. Keelan wins the job and he starts day one. I don't think that's likely to happen, but you know, let's mull it over a little bit. Keelan takes over for Ty mid-season and finishes the season as a starter. Keelan is the number two backup all season. And the final one is Keelan redshirts and is number three all season. And Austin Mack beats him out. Jump in there, Will K. Talk to me about Keelan and your thoughts.
I mean, I think we kind of mixed Keelan and Ty together. You know, I think we kind of already talked about a lot of it. But, yeah, I mean, I assume that he'll just be the two this next year, probably playing some not so meaningful games just to get some experience. But if he is going to be the starter, I just said this, it'll be, you know, Ty Simpson lays an egg against a big game and they kind of have to go back to the drawing board. So I don't think he'll be the three. So, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, like Will said, we kind of hit this from a different angle earlier, but I just think Keelan's going to be so in an 8A game, they had Austin Mack playing. I mean, I don't know how you interpret the 8A game, but Austin Mack was taking the second amount of snaps after Ty Simpson. He was a second string guy that day. Now, I've heard Austin Mack looks really good in practice as well. So all that to say, I just don't think Keelan's going to win the job. I think the survey says, on option number one. Number two, Keelan takes over for Simpson midseason. I mean, maybe. I don't know. I just think he's a freshman. I don't like that scenario. I just feel like it's going to happen the way we said earlier about Ty. Ty's going to be the starter. Keelan's going to come in from opt-up duty with Austin Mack in some games. Another question I have for y'all is, since it's his first year as quarterback, Ty, say you go to Florida State and you get up by 14, 21, do you play Keelan for experience? I don't think you do. I think you leave Ty in for more experience. And then you play ULM, second game. Maybe if you get up a lot, you put Keelan in. But, gosh, you kind of want to let Ty get as many reps as possible. So, anyway, I think option number one is out. I think option number two is unlikely. I think he's number two all season. I'm going with number three. Survey says, ding.
Sorry. I do like the idea of if we're beating up on these teams, let's say we're up 28-0 at half, take Ty out and let the other guys get some reps. And right. And it, you know, if they're proving, you know, go out there and play two series and you look bad, okay, take him out, put the other guy in, let him do it. And then if it, you know, all of a sudden it's from 28-0 to 28-14, okay, put Ty back in. But I would like to see the guys get some reps in these Western Kentuckys and Georgia Southerns. And I'm not looking at who we've got right in those cupcake games, but I want those guys and I'd like to see Ty rest. But I agree with you. He needs to get some confidence. And if he has a tough outing against Florida State, let's say we win, but it's a tough game. You know, we win 17-14 or 21-17 and, you know, it's like he's okay. Yeah, get all the reps you need if he doesn't prove out. But I like the idea of giving the other guys reps in that mop-up duty and getting them both in there, and particularly whoever they decide is number two. I'm assuming if they make Austin Mack the backup that they're going to look to redshirt Keelan. So you'll get him in 2-3 games, and I guess you can play him 4 games and still redshirt. But that's my thought on getting in the mop-up duties.
I'll tell you something else, John. I think if it comes out anywhere in the season that Keelan is redshirted, that tells me a lot about him as a young man. I think if he's redshirted, that means he's accepted it, his parents have accepted it, and he's here for the long haul. So I would love that scenario where, you know, at ULM, at second game of the season, we play Louisiana Monroe. I love the scenario of Ty's the starter, Austin Mack comes in second half, and Keelan's okay with that. If he is, that means, hey, he's thinking, I'm going to be the quarterback at Alabama either in 26 or 27 and 28. And so anyway, I would love that scenario. My favorite scenario would be Ty starts, Austin's backup, Keelan's redshirted. I don't know if that's likely or not, but I love that scenario.
Yep.
I hope he's mature. I hope Keelan's mature enough to play the long game and not demand to play as a sophomore, that he's willing to sit, that he sees what Arch Manning's doing and says, God, be patient. I'm 18 years old. I need to get in here and do it and get all the practice reps and not have the big game pressure on me yet and be ready to go. So I'm hoping he'll do that, but I do think we're in a scenario where two of these three guys will be gone come January and will be in other programs, or maybe Ty's getting ready for the pros and Keelan's, you know, they're handing the reins over to him, and Austin Mack's going to get his NIL money because he wants reps and wants to start. And but we'll see. All right, so next scenario, this is the least likely one, is Austin Mack wins the QB battle and starts at FSU. The next one is that Austin's number two, and at some point they yank Ty, they put Austin in there, and he takes over as the starter. I think the most likely scenario is Austin Mack is the backup. Austin could be the third string. That could happen as well, and I think if Austin Mack's third string gets beaten out by Keelan as the backup, that Austin's biding his time and he's gone. And so, you know, all right, we'll jump in here. Any thoughts on the Austin Mack scenario? Give me your comments.
I mean, I've heard good things about him, but I don't really see a scenario where he's like the starter this year. He's pretty good, but, you know, it'll be Simpson, and then we're going to retain Keelan. I think that Austin Mack's probably going to transfer, most likely. You know, just in a bad spot behind Keelan Russell, you know, number one quarterback, five-star, and then behind Ty Simpson, who's waited his turn. There's just not really a spot for him. I know he came here to follow DeBoer and Grubb, and they like him. They're the ones that recruited him. But, you know, it's not like basketball where there's a bunch of substitutions. You know, you play one quarterback the whole year. So there's limited spots, and he's just kind of in a bad spot. I think he's a good quarterback, but he'll probably transfer after this year.
I agree.
Dr. T, jump in.
You know, I'm going to go back to Keelan 1 second. Okay. I think it says a lot about him. Now, again, I'm just trying to read between the lines here. But, you know, I have to believe that when he committed to come to Alabama, he knew there was a five-star guy waiting in the wings, Ty Simpson. And every quarterback wants to start. And every freshman thinks, I'm going to start or I'm going to beat the guy out. I just think when you come to a school like Alabama and there's a guy who's been waiting 3 years, and I think he was prepared to probably sit this first year. I mean, so I say that to say I think he is here for the long haul. I think he's probably a mature young man or has a good family system behind him, because he could have easily gone to a lot of schools and started that didn't have a Ty Simpson waiting. So anyway, all that back to Austin Mack. I think the likely thing is that he is either the backup or third string all year. that's where I'm going. But yeah, end of the season, I think he transfers somewhere else.
I hate this part of the transfer portal that guys can't sit and work through the system. And, you know, maybe Austin Mack, Ty has a great year. Then Austin Mack gets a year under center and starts, and Keelan sits 2 years, and then Austin Mack goes pro, and then it's Keelan's turn. I hate that that's where we are, but that's where we are. So we got to live in reality, not in, oh, gee, let's, you know, the good old days. I mean, I think college football is still really exciting, but the turnover is just, you know, I'm just having to say, okay, that's the reality, and we'll just deal with it. And then Alabama will be right back there in the transfer portal trying to get guys, also trying to sign four-star and five-star guys to come in as freshmen. But I have a feeling that Alabama will try to get a guy out of the transfer portal next spring to come here because Austin's gone and Keelan's taken over, or Austin and Keelan both left and Ty's back. I think they're going to go to the transfer portal to try to get somebody, and then they're going to go hard and to try to sign one or two quarterbacks to come in as well. It's going to be fascinating. All right, guys, are we done with the quarterback conundrum and ready to move on to this running back room?
I believe so.
All right, here we go. So I'm going to break this down in the running back room. I'm going to call them the known quantities. I'm going to call Jam Miller and Richard Young. We have a good idea who those guys are. I'm hoping that they've gotten better and that have improved in the offseason and that they're ready to show that they're SEC caliber starting running backs and have NFL qualities. So I call Jam and Richard the known commodities. I think Jam is not a breakaway runner. I think he runs hard. I think he can run with some power. He's shifty, but he's not going to get to the second level and then leave guys in the dust, a.k.a. Derrick Henry. He is not that. Richard Young, I don't know if we got to see him enough to know, can he be an NFL caliber running back? Is he that next great Alabama running back? But I think he's good. I think we've got two capable running backs there, but I don't think they're studs that I would say is the next great Alabama running back, but I hope they prove me wrong. I hope they step up and take that next step, and they are one of the great Alabama running backs. I would call Daniel Hill the bulldozer. He is that 6'2", 240 power running back. I like having a guy that you can hand the ball off to, and he's going to power through and get the tough 3 to 5, 6 yards. And for everything I've read and heard, he had a great spring. That's the quick and dirty on that. And then Kevin Riley, AK Deer, and Dre Washington are the burners. Apparently they're very fast. If they get to the second level, they can run away from guys. I'm excited about that, but you have to be a good running back to get to the second level. Are they shifty enough? Can they break tackles? I don't know. So that's the running back room. I think we've got talent in the running back room, but can they be what we need and expect Alabama running backs to be? And I'm also not sure who out of the running back room is really good at catching the ball and you know, being a check down or run a wheel route to do those kind of things that we would like those running backs to be able to do, to be an added weapon. All right, Will K, jump in here on the running backs.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think we have just one guy who's going to get all of the touches, like a Derrick Henry or a Trent Richardson or even a Najee Harris. It's going to be one of those years where, like, you split between Damian Harris, Josh Jacobs, Najee, and there was another one I'm forgetting. But it's going to be a stable. There's a lot of depth. I mean, six running backs. I think all of them could start at a majority of places. A.K. Deer, five-star. I mean, don't really expect him to play a lot. Kevin Riley, I don't know. I just don't know how they're going to divvy up the playing time. But Jam Miller is going to get the majority of the snaps. Richard Young will get more than he has in the past. And then Dre Washington, I was excited when he came, but looking at all these running backs, I don't know who's going to, because I mean, a few of these guys are going to have to sit out. There's only so many snaps and only so much playing time that you can have. I like Jam Miller. He was good last year. He was good the year before. I think that, you know, that any one of these guys can step up and get some playing time.
Yeah. Daniel Hill at 242 reminds me a little bit of just by his numbers, 6'1", 242 reminds me of Eddie Lacy. Remember him?
Mm-hmm.
He was a big bruiser. And
NFL caliber running back, Eddie Lacy.
That's right. I mean, McDonald's, yeah, I don't know.
Running back.
Say that again.
I said McDonald's caliber running back. You know, he was rookie of the year, yeah. And then he got really fat.
Oh, yeah. That's right. That's right. He sure did. He ate too much. They had to keep him on a diet. I remember that.
Yeah.
The Packers. That's right. He was packing it in, wasn't he?
It was.
Yeah. So, I mean, I'm with you, Will. It's like, man, I mean, usually, we've had DeBoer one season, and he used two running backs a good bit, and Milroe. But, yeah, I mean, I think next year, at the most, we have three guys who get a lot of time, and I don't know who it's going to be. Obviously, Miller and Young, and then is it going to be the Bruisers? Is it going to be the Speedsters? I don't know. That's tough. Hey, another, again, like in quarterbacks, you can't keep all these guys next year. There's no way.
Yeah.
There's no way. So.
Well, I'm not as worried about losing running backs to portal as I am the quarterback position,
right.
Just because at the college level, just like the NFL, there's a lot of guys out there. And as long as we can continue to recruit, then, you know, if three guys get the majority of the snaps and two want to leave, that doesn't bother me as much as if we lost Keelan. I mean, you know, that would be rough, but I want one of these guys or two of these guys to really take it to another level versus what we had last year. Cause I just didn't have a whole lot of faith in the running backs being stellar. So I'm hoping somebody just steps it up or a couple of guys step it up and we get that level of running back we're used to seeing in Alabama. That's my take on that. Okay. Yeah. Will, any other thoughts on the running backs?
I don't think so. No.
All right, Dr. T.
Yeah, my last thing about running backs is I think you're going to see them utilized more and in a better way this year because of the offensive coordinator and a better quarterback who can kind of read defenses, check down to better running plays, et cetera. I just think we'll see more. Like last year, I think Jan Miller, it says here, had 668 yards. I mean, that's okay. And then Haynes had 448. And then Young had 146. So he was definitely the third string last year. But I think those numbers will go up for all those guys, for Jam and Young next year a lot.
Yeah, you won't have a quarterback that's basically being used as a running back. Jalen Milroe is the fourth SEC quarterback ever, I think, to have 20 rushing touchdowns in a year.
Wow.
So, and Ty Simpson's not going to do that. So, yeah, there will be more use of the running back next year.
Yeah, Jam Miller had 7 touchdowns last year. He's your leading running back. That's too low.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That definitely is. And then we saw with Oklahoma, with South Carolina, with Michigan, that they dared Milroe to beat them. And they loaded the line of scrimmage, and we got to be able to do a better job when they're going to come up and load the line of running the ball this year. Cause that really, and Tennessee particularly as well, they just said, nope, you guys are not going to run the ball. We're going to shut that down. And we didn't have an answer for that. So I'm excited that we're going to be able to answer that if you want to put 8-9 guys in the box, we're going to burn you otherwise. And I'm hoping that happens this year.
Hey, quick trivia question. How many yards do you think, if you don't know already, how many yards a game did Jam Miller average last year? Guess.
I think it's 50-something.
51.
Yeah.
That's amazing. Yeah. That'll change this year.
Well, and if he's not doing it, then one of the other guys will be in there getting 80, 90 yards a game, I think.
Right.
I think that Jam will start game one, but I'm not sure he's going to be the starter game 5.
But, y'all, yeah. On average, a good running back will average about how many yards a game, an attempt? Usually about 4 to 5, right?
Yep. Yeah, 4 to 5.
So Jam had 4.6 yards an attempt last year. So it wasn't like he wasn't good. We just didn't use him enough, in my opinion. But right. Yep.
All right, let's move to the wide receiver. You guys ready to talk about the wide receiver?
Yes, let's do it.
That room is stacked and loaded. I think it's probably the deepest position on the team. You might want to argue defensive backs equally as deep, but we're not talking about the defense. So, but I think it's stacked. It's stacked. So I committed a party foul, I think. So, stacked and loaded. You got Ryan Williams. He's a stud. Jeremy Bernard, I think he is an NFL caliber receiver. Isaiah Horton, I'm really fired up about having that big possession receiver you can throw it to him, get first downs, red zone receiver, go and throw it out and let him go get it in the end zone. He's really, really good from everything that I've seen and everything that I've read. I'm really fired up about that. And then waiting in the rings, you got Rico Scott, runs a sub 4.5. You got Lazier Brooks. He's a 4.4 guy. And to me, he's Jalen Waddle. Jalen Hale, highly recruited. Jalen Mbakwe, he's big. Cole Adams, he's Wes Welker, Julian Edelman type of really effective possession receiver. I'm excited about these guys. Will Kay, come on, bring it. Hey, Will, your mic's kind of fading in and out. Will, can you hear me? Will, can you hear me? Dr. T, can you hear me?
I hear you fine, yeah.
Yeah, I think Will's having some kind of connection issue.
Yeah, I hear that. So I'm on the receivers, John. Shall I talk about receivers a little bit more?
Yeah, hold on. Yeah, go ahead and jump in on the receivers.
Yeah, I think this is going to be the best, as Will said, the best group of receivers we've had in years. And you have an NFL receiver in Ryan Williams, NFL receiver in Bernard, a probable future. A couple other guys are unknown, but probably going to be very well. Cole Adams, like you said, Wes Welker prototype. He is great. He has great hands. He's going to be probably playing the slot. And when you need a third and short, or he's going to be your man. And then, yeah, Brooks looks phenomenal. Brooks is super fast. I've seen some footage of him in practice, and he reminds me of Waddle for sure. I mean, he is very, very quick. And then Hale, I loved Hale before he got injured. He's amazing, so I think he'll be great too. So it's going to be fun year with the receiving core. And I think we'll have a quarterback who can get them the ball, which will be great. So
I'm counting on the quarterbacks being able to actually accurately throw the ball at all three levels. And I'm counting on the offensive line, giving them enough protection that we can, that they can run block and pass block. And then we're going to have that balanced offense, but I'm excited about this receiver room.
Me too. Me too.
I think we've lost Will Kay. I think he is a casualty to some type of connection. So Rick, can you hear me?
I cannot hear you through my speakers. No, I only hear you through the house.
Oh, boy.
Can you hear me?
I can hear you fine.
Well, if you can hear me fine, I can keep going then. Because okay. I can hear you from over there.
All right, good. I'll talk loud and let it just echo out in the room. So we'll keep pushing forward. So I think on the offensive line, we've covered it. There's a lot of talent there. They're going to be really good. I think the line is the last thing that we really need to cover, and then we can wrap this up. Let's jump into the line. Here's what I'm going to say. I think we've got three proven NFL caliber linemen who are going to start. Caden Proctor, left tackle, Parker Brailsford at center, and Jaden Roberts at right guard. And everything I've read is they're in the running for, you know, to be first, second round, third round at worst draft picks. So it's nice when you got three guys like that with experience that have that kind of talent, and we're expecting them to really do well. And I'm showing Cam Dewberry is penciled in at left guard, and then Wilkham Formby's, it's been noted that he's going to start at right tackle. And those are the two guys that have got to step up and prove themselves this year. They're highly talented, highly rated, and I think those are going to be the keys to the offensive line. And then if they're not able to do it and step in, then who can take their place and fill the gap? But it's going to be key. We got to have better line play than we had last year, and I'm not sure how much of it had to do with the quarterback, with the OC, with the scheme. But I think the line is a question mark. There's a lot of talent in the room. There's a lot of four-star and five-star guys, but are they going to be able to step up and do it? So jump in, Dr. T. And
yeah, so Dewberry, did he play last year at A&M?
I think so.
Okay. So, yeah, I think the left tackle, I think the left tackle is going to be solid. I think the center will be great. I think the right guard will be great. And I think if Dewberry or Vandermark, I expect them to be good. And so the question, I think the biggest question is going to be the right tackle. Can Formby pass protect? He's a big, as you know, a big, big guy. I mean, I think he's like 6'8", if I remember correctly. And he doesn't have the best feet, in my opinion. He moves kind of slow as far as shuffling his feet, trying to go back. He's 6'7", 322. So anyway, I think he's a better run blocker than he is pass protector and pass blocker. So somewhere in the year, I'm sure the coaches, if he's not doing a great job protecting the right side, they'll either start using the running backs over there or, you know, the tight ends for some extra help. But I like the line overall. I'm real excited about the line. I think we have a lot of good guys and some good depth.
I think we're going to learn a lot in that first game, and it'll be real interesting to see how they hold up in a hostile environment. And we need Wilkin Formby to have improved a lot, and everything they've said is that they're really happy with how he did in the spring, but we need him to step up. And then we need to have somebody behind him who's ready to go if he struggles again this year. But I'm counting on him to have taken a jump. And hopefully they've worked on those lateral quickness drills, foot, and they've also schemed up ways to chip and provide him help when he's got a speed rusher. And I hope they also, when they line up those speed rushers over there, I hope they audible into some run plays and let him just bury the guy and really just beat up on those guys on his side and play to his strengths. So I think that's really important that we get that right tackle solidified, however they do it. And it's going to be a big question mark, but I like the talent in the room, the size, the strength. And so hopefully it's going to play out as we'd like. And in terms of the guys behind them, I think Gino Vandermark's considered to be a well thought of, capable second stringer. You've got this Olas Alinen. They really like him, his size, his strength. They brought in Arkell Anugwum, and I think they like him a lot. So I think there's some guys on the second string that can provide depth given potential for injuries and such. So I'm optimistic about the line. I think they're going to be better for a lot of reasons. And but we need them because, I mean, if we're going to have a good running game, if we're going to be able to run the offense in the passing game, we've got to have decent pass protection. So I think all of those things are concerning, but I'm optimistic that they're going to be better as a line this year because I think the line was mediocre last year. I don't think we had a great line. I don't think we were great getting in the red zone and just bulldozing guys. And then we also saw what happened in multiple games with Milrow taking sacks. Some of it his own fault. Some of it the line protection not holding up like it was. So, all right, Dr. T, finish it up for us.
Yeah, I was going to say the same thing. I think a good quarterback makes the line better and vice versa. And I think we'll have better quarterback play in the sense that we don't stand in the pocket way too long. We know how to get check downs to the hot routes. I just think Ty will make the offensive line automatically better. And so on top of the fact that these guys have been here another year now, I think the offensive line will be a lot better. I also, you know, it's no secret that we play a lot of tennis. These, you know, John and I do. And so as we were saying yesterday, Andy Roddick talked about Djokovic saying that, hey, he'll take your legs, then he'll take your heart, and then he'll take your soul. And so we were kind of saying how, you know, hopefully Formby, you know, throughout the first half of a game or so, maybe the first three quarters, hopefully Formby can beat on these speed rushers on the, you know, and hopefully take their legs by the third and fourth quarter where the guys can't rush that hard anymore anyway. So I'm with you on that. So I think, yes, the line will be better because they're just better. I think Ty Simpson will make them a little better. And I think Formby is going to be serviceable. And hopefully we can game plan around Formby's weaknesses. And hopefully by the third and fourth quarter, guys are gassed and we can just pound them even more. So I'm optimistic. I think the offensive line is not going to be a bad spot for us. I think they'll actually be a good thing for us.
And I like the seasoning. I mean, these guys are all a year older. They've gotten a lot of playing experience, and don't discount that of them making a jump from that. And I'm going to be cautiously optimistic that those guys have all taken a jump from last year. And Wilkin and the three studs, and then Cam Dewberry's ready to go. And even though he's changed teams, that he's ready to go. So I'm going to count on that fact that they've had another year to work on things in the offseason, that they're going to make a big jump just because they're older, because they're not freshmen and sophomores or sophomores and juniors, but they're upperclassmen and they're ready to roll. So I'm going to be cautiously optimistic about that. All right. Any parting shots, Dr. T? What else as we wrap up this deep dive into the offense and really go into some things that we didn't cover on the last episode?
You know, not really. I will say this, you know, Will K, basically what happened was John did not like him talking about defense earlier, so he booted him off the show is what happened. Or was that John? That was John that talked about defense. That's right. I forgot about that. No, Will K mentioned defense. You're right. That's right. So Will K got the boot tonight, and I got the boot last time we did this. I'm not sure what happened there. But anyway, in summary, the offense is – We did a deeper dive tonight in the offense. We think Ty Simpson is going to start. He's probably going to be the starter throughout the year. We hope to hang on to Keelan next year either way. And then in summary, the running backs are going to be solid. The receiver is going to be great. Offensive line is going to be solid. I think the offense is going to have a big jump from last year in productivity. And I think we'll see that, kind of flesh out against Florida State first game on the road.
I'm going to make one prediction. I think the running back room is going to be an upside surprise. I think they're going to be better than we expect, and it's going to get back to the level that Bama expects out of the running back room. So I think they're going to be better than average. I think it's going to be an upside surprise, and we're going to the playoffs.
I think so.
All right. Well, I think that wraps it up, Dr. T. Thank you for joining us. Will K., we lost you into the internet black hole. He had a little technical difficulties. We'll work on that. And thank you for all the listeners for joining us on another episode of the Bamature Hour. We'll come back hopefully Wednesday with another episode and jump into the defense. And we can talk about defense all we want, and we won't talk offense on that one. So there we go. Thank you for listening, and we appreciate you. Like, subscribe to us on all the different media, wherever you access and listen to this, and have a great night.
Roll Tide.
Roll Tide.